Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio, filling in for Dick Newman this morning. And we got a lot of section sports to talk about this morning. And we are going to kick it off with football with head coach Tony Smith. Tony's in the studio once again. He always comes in the studio every Saturday.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
It's fun to do.
Here, let's get your mic up a little.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to lean over.
Mike's a little short. Must have had a short person the other day on it. So
must have.
Yeah. So how things going this morning?
Good. Good. The sun isn't out, but it's still going to be a nice day.
It is. Let's back it up here. Tuesday night in Lakeview in section play.
Yeah. Obviously, weather wasn't all that great. It was a little cool, and the wind was right in our face all night long. Lowry and I were actually talking about that the COVID year we went down there, and it was kind of the same conditions, maybe even a little colder.
Oh.
So that kind of brought back some memories. But, yeah, we went down there Tuesday night, and they were the 3 seed, and we'd played them earlier. Well, what was it, our second game of the year?
Yep.
And it was 20-13 at halftime, or 20-12 at half, and they had turned the ball over quite a few times at our place that day. And so we were kind of hoping for some of the same. We got into the first half. We got the ball. And, you know, to be honest, I was kind of impressed with the way we came out. We had the ball on the ground and running the ball. And we did some nice things early on and had some chances. And unfortunately, we weren't able to capitalize. A couple of bigger runs and the chance if we got another block here or there to maybe make it a bit of the make that happen. So then we were behind the eight ball. So at the halftime, it was 20-0. Again, it wasn't us talking about too much X's and O's as far as what we needed to change. It was more of like, hey, let's continue to do what we're doing. We got to execute better. Talked a little bit about, you know, defensively, they had 3 big runs for their touchdowns, all on relatively the same play. It was yep. just this little trap between the guard. So we talked about that at halftime. And unfortunately, we didn't come out in the second half. And again, we did some nice things, moved the ball a little bit. And they still continued with their big play ways. We came up on the losing side again.
Yeah, during the broadcast, Dick and I were commenting, you know, your offense is moving the ball there between the 20s. Then something happened and you went for it on fourth down quite a bit. And Lakeview, as you mentioned, they scored on big plays. You really contained them well for most of the game. It was just a big play.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you're going that one direction, going to the north there. It was pretty tough to throw the ball.
Wind.
Yeah, so everyone pretty well stacked the line of scrimmage. But still, we did a nice job, and they're bigger. I mean, they got that Staub kid who's 315 pounds. They got another kid that's 270. It just kind of started to lean on us a little bit, we were down. Douglas Bruner, he did not play from an injury on that Tuesday night. So, you know, so we've stepped in another yep. underclassman, and he got some experience, and the lights were bright, and learned some lessons along the way.
Yep. Dick and I are also commenting about, man, there's some big hits. You like football. There's some big-time defensive hits on both sides of the ball.
There was some really nice tackling going on. The one that sticks out in my mind was Gabe's in the third quarter there, I think on their first drive. Just ran through his gap and ran through the ball carrier, and it was a big stick. There was a lot of hooting and hollering going on.
That's great.
Yes.
Of course, it was a section game. Stats you want to go through there, Tony? Or
yeah.
You got there?
Yeah. Offensively, Jackson Fernals was 1 of 6 for 3 yards. The one reception was to Gavin Mortensen. Run game-wise, Jace DeLean, 21 carries for 97 yards. Gavin Mortensen had 3 carries for 15. Adrian Specht, 4 for 14. Nicholas Hoffman had 1 carry for no yardage. And then on the defensive side, it felt like if the ball was getting to the edge, it was Gavin Mortensen's to tackle. He ended up with 9 tackles on the night. Tucker Lyons had 4. Gabe had 3, the one we kind of talked about. Elias Alonzo had 3, one of them a tackle for loss. Jace DeLean had 3. Adrian Specht had 2. Talon Kranz had 2. Nolan Smith had 2. Matthew Sherman had 2, one up for a loss. Evan Schliemann had 1. Jax Wells had 2. Kaysen Heineke had 1, and Tanner Tilbury had a fumble recovery there in the third quarter. So that is, and then on the kickoff returns, you know, they did a nice job of kicking it to a corner. They did not kick it, except for the last one. They kicked it every time. They kicked it to a side and really kind of limited. I think Gavin touched it twice on those kickoff returns, and obviously he's a threat to score, so they kept it out of his hands.
Right, yeah, they did that with Dawson too. So
yeah.
All right. Well, that completed your season then?
Yep.
And we're going to wrap up the season next week and give you some time to talk about all the guys and everything. So
yeah.
Your overall thoughts?
Well, you know, it was kind of the theme of the year for us between the not having guys available from injury or illness.
Injury bug really hit you this year.
It did, and that was kind of a conversation with every game that we played with the coaching staff that from the other team. And, hey, everyone's kind of been there and done that. Unfortunately, it was us this year.
Yeah. But that means somebody has to step up then.
And that means somebody had to step up, and we gained some invaluable experience for some of those younger guys that maybe weren't anticipating a chance to be out there on a Friday night. And so the ability to prepare and get yourself ready for those things, all of a sudden, bang, there you are, and you're learning on the run. Unfortunately, with our numbers, we had to cut back on some of the JV games, and those kids then lost that experience on those Monday nights, and so that was hard too. And you know, it wasn't for a lack of effort. You know, every week it's afterwards. You know, the conversation is, man, the effort's there, but as far as finding the ability to the consistency to do it, and the ability to execute consistently. That's something that we need to continue to work on. And when you're young, you're going to make those mistakes, and we made mistakes, and other teams capitalize on it. You know, this district isn't real forgiving when it comes to some of that. When you look at the teams that you have to line up weekly, and then our non district games, you know, it's tough week in and week out.
Yeah, one of the best around Southwestern Minnesota football, high school football is a pretty high quality teams.
Yeah, the team that makes it out of this, either this district or Section 4 or Section 3 are going to be, or even 5 for that matter, too. I mean, it's really good quality, high quality football. Just think of the last few years, there's the teams that have lost in the section championship could have probably won the state championship.
Right.
But you know, that's where we are, and we got to continue to play and improve and get better and learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. Before I let you go, well, how many seniors did you have, Tony?
We had 6.
6.
And met with them yesterday for the final time. It's a group that has a lot of different, you know, they're not all one size fit all kids. They have a lot of different interests, and there are a lot of different talents and. But so we talked with them yesterday and kind of found out where they're planning on continuing on to go to school or if they're going to school, and just thanked them for the time and got some feedback from them. And those seniors are Nolan Smith, Gabe Lowry, Talon Kranz, Douglas Bruner, Brant Schomer, and Elias Alonzo.
Okay.
And so those 6 guys are moving on. And you know, really, when they started the 7th graders, I believe there was like 7 or 8 of them We had to use a couple of kids from a grade above or below to help out that team. And then when they got to be freshmen, they were the six, and they've continued to be the six. So I complimented them on seeing it all the way through. So,
awesome.
Yes.
All right. You have a banquet scheduled or not yet? Or?
I do not have it. That's one thing I want to get scheduled this weekend is to get it nailed down and figure out what works best and get that on the calendar for everybody.
All right. All right, Tony. Well, we'll talk to you next week, and we'll give due to them six seniors and your other members of the team and talk about the season then.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Go Gophers today,
Go Gophers. And then you got the...
Anytime you can beat Iowa.
Yes, exactly. And then you got, you know, obviously, the section games today here in the area.
Yeah, how do you see them?
You know, I think McCray obviously went down to Canby and upset them in the 4-5 game. It's just going to be tough sledding with the experience and the knowledge and all of that Mineota has going for him as far as for McCray to be hanging in that game. But you never know. That's why you play it.
That's right.
And then this other game with Lakeview and Dawson, I believe the score at halftime when they played the first time was 14-7 or something.
Okay.
So it was close, and then Dawson pulled away in the second half. So I would imagine that it's going to be a close game if Lakeview is able to run the ball.
Breifogel and Kosel, they're pretty good.
Keep the ball out of Dawson's hands, which there's the thing is Dawson's defense is pretty darn good.
Yeah,
so I think it'll be a close game and probably come down to a big play here or there in the second half to decide it, whether it's a turnover or an interception or a block punt or whatever it might be.
All right. We'll have that game for you, Dawson and Lakeview, at 3 o'clock this afternoon right here on Q92. And, Tony, once again, thanks for coming in. We'll talk to you next Saturday then.
All right. Great, Paul. Thanks.
Head coach Tony Smith of the Lockbrow Valley Eagle football team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
A Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Fresh deals this week. Tilapia fillets, $5 a pound. All natural whole chicken, $2 a pound. Kip is taking a whole deer order. The Country Butcher is now taking whole deers. Drop off your deer Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. during hunting season. Stop by for great cuts, friendly service, and hometown quality you can taste. The Country Butcher, located on Main Street, Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday, 9 to 1, and close Sunday and Monday.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Saturday afternoon, Q92 Sports has Section 4A football playoffs from RB Clay Field in Dawson. It's the Lakeview Lakers and the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks in the Section 4A semifinals. 3 o'clock kickoff. That's right, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. It's the Blackjacks and the Lakers. The winner moves on to play in the section championship game. That's Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, Dawson Boyd and Lakeview, right here on Q92. Tune in. City Hall Bar and Grill in Mineota has a brand new menu, and we can't wait for you to try it. Dine in with friends or grab something to go. It's easy. Just Google City Hall Bar and Grill, click order online, and dinner's done. We know our farmers and families are busy, so let us do the cooking. We appreciate all of you for supporting local. Stop by City Hall Bar and Grill, open Tuesday through Friday, 4 to 10, Saturday, 11 till 10, and Sundays, noon to 8. City Hall Bar and Grill in Mineota. Good food, good friends, and good times.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coach Show. Once again, Paul Reno here in the studio. Dick has the Saturday off, and we just talked with head coach Tony Smith of the Lacapoil Valley football team. Now we're going to turn our attention to a happy cross-country coach for Lacapoil Valley, Dawson Boyd, John Sherb. And John, congratulations on getting the girls to state.
Oh boy, it was work, but the kids really responded well, and it's more of the kids. You know, you can only put them in a spot, and they've got to execute, and they've got to work hard, and they put together a complete race for a 5K course. They, from start to finish, they really, really put it together and finished well as a team, and didn't let up, because we had talked about everybody you can beat, you got to get. So really, really happy for the girls to get a taste of doing this.
That's right. Well, we'll talk about that more in a little bit, but what a beautiful day for a section meet. A lot of people in Madison on Thursday. It was just a great day.
Traditionally, we're bundled up, windy, snow, rain. I mean, it just, you know, we've had those years where it's been cold, and this one, and I had mentioned to the coaches that are coaching me, I said, I apologize for the weather. I said, we screwed up, and it's a nice day. And I said, this is Madison Golf Course, just to let you know, you are Madison, where it's always either been way too hot or windy or crappy. And I said, we do have a nice one. Yeah. I apologize to Pete from Laverne because he hosts it next year. I said, sorry, I hope we didn't take all your good weather away for next year for you guys. So, but it was gorgeous. You know, I can't say enough about, you know, the Madison Golf Course allowing us to use it. And same thing with Zach, all the workers put together, to all the workers that he had to find a parking. Geez, there were their cars parked everywhere. You could look, there were cars parked. And it was jammed, but it was just gorgeous weather.
That's right. All right, let's talk about the section cross-country meet at the Madison Country Club on Thursday.
Well, we started off with the boys race at 4 o'clock. Going in, we knew boys were you know, 2 years away from really probably being contenders with it. I think our team has grown so much from the first meet of the season to where we are now with all the young kids and inexperienced kids. So this point, yes, was that part, but we also, hey, let's see where our goals can be, you know, for the team and everything else. Our goal was to get top five, and then also, you know, see if we can get maybe, you know, Colin in that top 20, just to see where he's at and just kind of balance and go. So, you know, we had some realistic goals. We weren't going to overdo our picks, but that's what we kind of felt. And like I said, just it turned into a monster race, and our kids, you know, ran really, really well, and some tough teams, because Redwood, who we felt was the favorite going in, who will probably finish maybe top three in the state. Tough, and they are the state champions returning from last year, so you got that out of there. So it's a very tough field, and the Wyndham's kids have been running really well as of late, so that's kind of the 1-2 punch there. But Colin Rosendahl really, really looked sharp. I thought he looked a lot better than the conference meet, as a smoothness and attack mode. He finished 18th at 1748. Tanner Callis was right behind him at 29th at 1845. I know he's disappointed with where he was at with it, but again, he's been fighting injury all year with his knee, and we're just lucky he's able to run with most, you know, because, you know, it's tough with a knee injury. Your stability is important to that, and in running, you need that. And have him finish like he did, we're very happy and lucky to have him running. Landon Keeman probably left his guts on the course, literally. I mean, that was probably the fastest 2 miles out I've ever seen him run for in his career. I mean, he laid it out. He did not back down. He went after it, and he was our number two runner pretty much the whole run, and then just unfortunately kind of petered out the end a little bit there at the end. But just a great gutsy. You love to see it when a kid does that, just says, hey, take a shot. What happens, happens. My last race. So he finished 31st at 1848. Then we had Matthew Bothan at 40th. At 1912, then also Brody Nelson at 63rd, 1953, Colden Heineke at 52nd at 1939, Aaron Willis at 61st at 1947. Scoring wise, Redwood was clear cut easy, 35 points, which is an awesome score. They were first. Wyndham was second with 78. MCC at 107. Camby made it at 149. Monty 156, and we were at 165. So we finished top six, a little off what we hoped. But very, very, you know, very proud of where these kids have worked and handled it. Because, I mean, it's a lot of pressure to run at home, too. And just, you know, friends, people see it. Cause like you said, they're spectators. It was just amazing how many spectators were at the meet. So those two will go. You know, then we also, if anybody finishes the top six individual, it's not any on any of those teams, they would get a chance to go. So this is probably the deepest individual field I've seen in a while,
okay.
because we only went to 10th place. Usually you go to about 12th place or 13th to get an individual in. This year it was right at 10, so
wow.
that was kind of strange just how deep it is, because we've had years past where, like last year, I think Redwood and Laverne, I think they gobbled up 7 of the top 10 places, so now you had to go deeper because they were that strong. So mm-hmm. it was a tough field to get out. So,
okay.
But then girls, we knew going in we had a shot. Where we have again, there's always, I think it's Athletic Net has a virtual reality race, which I could care less about, because I told the kids it doesn't mean anything. It's what do you have this day? Paper doesn't mean much. And so, we thought, yes, Redwood's going to be way out front. Then after that's going to probably be Springfield, Laverne, Canby, and us probably fighting for that last spot. And it really turned into a dogfight with us and Laverne. And Bryn got a little too aggressive early. She paid for it in the end. She was actually leading the race to the first mile, which I would like to have seen a little more conservative on that part, just to kind of sit and relax. And then, of course, she got caught up in it. And then it got ugly. It was a fight for her to stay in that top 10 area to work. And she paid for it, but hopefully she learned something from it. Bryn was 11th overall at 2026. Chloe Glegge was 14th at 2044. So the two sisters have been really a nice 2-on-2 punch for us, and that's been the key. And so they are finished 14th. Then Laura had probably the marquee race of the whole team. She came out of the woodwork. She went 17th at 2106, and I don't have the PR marks in front of me, but that is probably going to be 40 seconds faster she's ever ran.
Wow.
And just stepped up and was just a monster out there and ran great.
Laura Schreier?
Yep, Laura Schreier.
Okay.
So she exited. She was just fun to see her really stay engaged. And then just, I'd be talking to her during the race, you got to find these two kids. Looking at that, and she nodded, and she kept her head up, seeing where she was going. It was just great. I mean, all the girls were done, but she was really, she was zoned in. Then Sadie Rosendahl was 28th at 21:45. That's huge, because right there we've got, four girls under 22 minutes, and that's key for us to be in that run. Then Dahlia Hersom was 45th at 22:24. Harper Grunholtz was 73rd at 23:44. And then Morgan Anderson was 81st at 23:59. I know when you talked to me at the coaches after the meet, at the half mile ago, we were down. I think because I kind of picture in my mind who I saw when we went by and where the kids finished. I think we were about down 8 points going into the last half mile of race.
Wow.
And the girls, basically our 3, 4, 5 girls either held their spot or pulled ahead and passed kids. I know Sadie passed Laverne girl, which turns into a 2-point swing. And so we were able to push herself in and just finish down the straightaway, which was huge. And I didn't pull up any results at all, and a couple of people working asked, well, how do you think the girls did? I think we're short. I don't think that. I know Bryn's not individually qualifying, so I said it's going to be a quiet another week. And then all of a sudden, Zach brings over the results and looks, and he goes, you probably should go back to school and start counting again, because you guys are in by 3. And I was like, I'll take those surprises, and just, I'm glad I'm wrong. It was a good thing to be wrong. And
yeah. Yeah, I looked at my app too, and I go, I jumped up. Oh, they got second place. Everybody's in already. So,
yep.
That was
and
pretty cool.
That was huge. And like I said, it was a great race. Laverne girls ran so well. And Pete does a really good job down at Laverne. Him and I are really good friends. We do a lot of communicating, and his girls ran really, really well. And yeah. So it's just like, what are you saying? So scoring wise, Redwood won it with 52. We were second at 110. Laverne was 113. Canby Mineal was 146. Jackson County Central was 185. And then Springfield was 189. So it really turned into a two-dog race there for that second spot. And I'm just very happy that our kids, were able to find a way to get into that top two spot to get another week of practice. And
there you go.
And do that. You got to have some luck, too. The thing is, you got to have some luck, and that's what we got.
That's right. I believe it's the 10th. Time, the girls have made it to state in the history of the program. Is that correct, John?
It's You're asking a lot of stuff. I have to dig my cobwebs out of my brain, but because we were asking the girls when it was last week qualified a team, and I want to say that was about 2018 because that was Isabel Sherm and Grace Hagelin were the seniors that year. I think that's the last year we qualified a team for state. So it's been a little while, but it'll be fun. It's, you know, we've been lucky. We've put some teams down at state, and that's really a kind of a blessing to these kids and what they're willing to do for the program, and yep. You can do what you can.
Okay.
So there was some minor things that I want to mention. The MCC girl, she went down, had some issues. I know, not sure the whole thing. I know Kelly Whittenable, the whole rescue squad, really, really did an outstanding job. They got her taken care of. They got her picked. They got her into the ambulance, got her to the hospital, and then they ended up flying her out to Sioux Falls. I just saw some stuff on Facebook, stuff like that, where she's good. They're trying to figure out why, what happened, if it's neurological, or what was the reasoning why. You know, did she hit the wall? There's a saying, hitting the wall, where you go out way too hot too early and you pay for it in the end. But she was in tough shape, and that crew really, really did a good job of getting her in, getting her straightened up, getting her moved. So last I saw, she was doing stable down, and I thought I saw in the picture she was actually upstanding and walking a little bit. So that's a good sign. I think there was Springfield girl also had some issues, but her mom said this is when the weather gets like this, she puts herself in oxygen debt. So she was good by the time the meet was over and everything else. She looked sharp and everything else. So it's amazing. You know, again, the weather was nice, but it was. You got too aggressive with your running instead of staying with your bounds, not realizing, and that's where you hit that little wall with the hit. So I want to, you know, put a put out for those guys to say, hey, you know, they're doing well, and wish them the best of luck. Hopefully things get better. Our prayers are with them.
Okay. All right, real good, John. I know you got practice this morning, right?
Yep. We're getting loosened up today and just see what we've got. So we're getting practice through right now. So
All right, real good. Thanks for reporting. Congratulations again on getting the girls going to state. And that's next Saturday at the University Golf Course, right?
Yep, that's at Les Bolsted Golf Course. Then that's at girls will run at 11 o'clock, boys will run at 10 o'clock. So okay. We'd love to have people come down and watch. I know there'll be virtual online results going on through the meet. It's a tough course. I mean, it's rolling, so... The good thing is both Gleggies know what it's like to run there. Now we just got to get the team to read it, understand it, too.
Okay, thanks, John. And
no problem. Thank you.
Yep, stay on the line here for a second. I want to visit with you. So,
okay, sounds good.
That's head coach John Sherb of the Lacapra Valley Dawson Boyd Cross Country Teams, and we'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Hometown Kitchen and Bath in Mineota takes pride in working closely with you to create beautiful, innovative, and functional kitchens and baths that reflect your lifestyle while providing the best value for your investment. From conception to completion, Nadine listens carefully to your wants and needs to ensure that every aspect of the job is done correctly, down to the final detail. Check out Hometown Kitchen and Bath on Facebook or call 507-872-5969. Hometown Kitchen and Bath, located in downtown Mineota.
See a movie this weekend at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, October 24th through Monday, October 27th in theater number one. It's The Senior, the story of a 59-year-old man who was originally kicked out of college, went back to school to finish up, got on the football team. That's The Senior, based on a true story, rated PG in theater one. And in theater two, it's the story of Bruce Springsteen, rock and roller, and it's called Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, rated PG-13. That's Springsteen in theater two. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to Lacapra Valley Volleyball with head coach Amber Lee. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Paul.
Hard to believe the season goes quick, doesn't it, when it ends?
Yeah, it sure does. It starts off furious and it ends real quick.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the Eagles wrapped up their section play, when was that, last Monday in Granite, I believe.
Yep, we did.
Okay.
Played Monday night in Granite against the YME Sting.
Okay, why don't you tell us about how you did and maybe some of the stats on the match there.
Okay, we ended up losing in three. Set scores were 12-25, 20-25, and 17-25. We didn't have any ace serves. Our hitting was led by Callie Kahn. And then it was Carson Whittenable with four kills. Callie Kahn had eight. Carson Whittenable had four. Faith Meyer had 4, and Abby Amland had 4, and Ashton Shelstead had 1, and Marley Ludvigson had 1, and Maya Swatsky had 2. We didn't have any solo blocks that night. Our set assists were Maya Swatsky had 8, Marley Ludvigson had 8, Ashton Shelstead had 3, Maya Mortensen had 1, and Abby Amland had 1. And for digs that night, Ashton Shelstead led us again with 9 digs. Carson Whitnable had 5, Marley Ludvigson had 4, Peyton Sachs had 3, Callie Kahn had 1, Maya Swatsky had 3, Abby Amland had 1, Maya Mortensen had 3, and Sophie Leah had 1, and Faith Meyer had 1. And that kind of rounds out our stats there for that night.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that ended your regular season there, Amber. Overall, probably not the wins and losses you wanted, but the girls played hard every match, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They, you know, we had talked about it before when going out there and stuff like that, and I just wanted them to give it their all for the last game. And, you know, I tried to tell them that this is seniors' last time that they could be stepping on that court, and I know we have a really young team, so there's a lot of girls there that maybe don't appreciate where them seniors are at right now. So I just wanted to make sure that they're aware that someday they're going to be that senior standing in that position, and that's going to be their last game too.
Yeah, I know after the match on Monday, I noticed you had the girls in the huddle after the match there for a long time. Probably tell them exactly what you just said, right?
Yeah, some of that, and just keep your heads held high, and, you know, it's a game. When it's done and over, it's a game. You know,
and it created a lot of memories too, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you remember the little things and you remember the big things, and some of the big things now are just little things in the future.
That's right. All right. Kind of a short report this morning, but we're going to take some time and talk about each of the girls. So we'll wrap up that season next Saturday. Amber, do you have a banquet at all?
Yep, we're having our banquet on November 3rd out at Lac Parle. And then after that, we'll be able to share some of our awards and stuff like that with everyone, too.
Okay. And then maybe that Saturday, the 8th of November, we'll probably wrap things up, wrap up the season. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. All right, so can we get a Jalen report? How's Jalen doing at Crown College?
She's doing really good down there. Friday night, they played North Central, and tonight we are versus Northwestern at home. And Northwestern is really good. Okay. They're the number one in the UMAC, and, yeah, fun to watch.
When do the playoffs start for them?
They start 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I can't remember exactly the date.
Yep.
They have 5 regular season games left.
Okay.
Then they'll either go to the NCCAA or the UMAC tournament. So.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thanks for that report every Saturday. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks, Amber. I appreciate that. And we'll talk to you on 2 Saturdays then and, give due to your seniors and all the players that put in a lot of time for Lac Parle volleyball.
Sounds great. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Amber Lee, head coach of the volleyball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
Elevate your fitness journey at the CCM Wellness Center. Whether you're shooting hoops, mastering pickleball, or interested in group fitness classes, we've got something for everyone. Our state-of-the-art cardio equipment and free weight area are here to help you reach your fitness goals. And our kids zone will leave the whole family smiling. The CCM Wellness Center isn't just about staying fit. It's about community. Our welcoming atmosphere and helpful staff create the perfect environment to meet new friends and stay on track. Start living fit and transform your life. Join the CCM Wellness Center today.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to wrap up the Lac Parle Valley Dawson Boy girls tennis season with head coach Dr. Brant Hacker. And welcome to the studio again.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, you're pretty good at coming into the studio all the time. That's great.
Well, I try to if I'm around, if I can get down here for sure.
Yeah.
There's sometimes I'm working, I can't get away, but yeah, it's fun to be in person.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the season you guys had this year.
Yeah, this kind of we've wrapped things up at this point. So October 13th was kind of our last matches. We had individual sections, and we traveled down to Sioux Falls for that. You know, each team, there's eight teams in the section. Everybody has two entries into the singles and two entries into the doubles. And we get together with the coaches Sunday evening. Everybody plays off. So, you know, it's really great to be able to head down to Sioux Falls and play indoors. Huther Family Tennis Center, or Match Point is the other name for it. It's just gorgeous. They've got 10 indoor courts. It's really fun for the girls to get down there and play inside. So
everybody always asks me, why didn't you go to Sioux Falls? I said, because they have nice indoor courts.
Exactly.
That's the reason, right?
That's 100% the reason, yeah. They give us 8 of the 10 courts to use, so we have the matches done by middle of the afternoon. I've been doing this a little bit, but back a while, we used to go up to St. Cloud and play on 4 courts, and we'd start at 8 in the morning, and we weren't done until 8 or 9 at night.
Oh,
it
wow.
was just a horribly long day.
Yeah.
So, no, it's great that Sioux Falls lets us do that. Down at Huther, they've been really awesome about it. So,
okay.
So we had two individuals in singles. We had Greta Hacker and then Reese Kuzman. Now, those two gals did a good job during the season, but they weren't as strong as singles players. That would have been Alexis Olsen and Maya Virgi. And my 1 and 2 singles players decided to team up and go as a doubles team. So that left us kind of choosing our next strongest players for singles, and that was Greta and Reese. Greta ended up in the 16th seed out of 16. She's a 4 singles player, so she kind of took her lumps. She ended up playing a gal, Lydia Sweep. She's the 1 singles player from Morris, and actually ended up losing to Lydia 0-0, so 6-0, 6-0. Greta had some nice points, though, played hard. Lydia ended up winning that tournament down there for individuals, so I was actually able to see her a couple days ago down in state playing individuals. But Lydia won. Greta was out of the tournament at that point. And then Reese Kuzman ended up playing the number 1 singles players from Laverne. And Reese played 3 singles for us for the season. Reese did a great job, and she played hard. She ended up losing 6-2, 6-2. But I think it's great for those gals like Greta and Reese, who will probably be playing up in different positions next year, just to get a taste of, hey, this is what it takes to be a 1 singles player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what you've got to bring to your matches, or you've got to be able to fight through some of these points a little. But that wrapped up Greta's and Reese's season, so the first match of the day for us there. Doubles, we ended up going with our number 1 doubles team that have been doubles for us all season, and that was Cameron Olson and Molly Halverson. And they ended up playing a team from Benson, so the 8th seed, we were the 9th seed. Cameron and Molly played a good match, but ended up losing in 3 sets. Lost the first set 6-1, turned things around, played more solid tennis to get a 6-3 win in the second set, but we just couldn't close things out. Benson came back, played hard, mm-hmm. and we lost 6-3 in that third set, and that wrapped up Cameron and Molly's season. We were kind of hopeful for Alexis Olsen, Maya Virgi, our 1 and 2 singles people. They went over to doubles. It's always a little bit of a roll of the dice when you put singles into doubles because it's a different game, and sometimes it's hard to adjust. Now, you know, we've had some success there, and we were hoping we could do the same this year. They ended up lining up against the YME doubles team, 2 doubles team, and we ended up losing 6-2, 7-5. And I know Maya and Alexis were not, you know, they weren't happy about it, pretty frustrated. I think they just had a hard time adjusting to that doubles play, right? Doubles is a lot of lobbying. It's a lot of hitting away from that net person. Singles, there is no net person there. Yeah. You're just hitting it to the person usually on the back court. You don't have to worry about that. But you could see Maya and Alexis really struggling to get past that net person. And credit to YME. They did a great job moving at the net. They picked off anything that they could get their racket on. They moved quickly. And they were a doubles team that had a great record. They were about 14-3 as a 2 doubles team. So we knew going in that they're going to be tough. They're good at doubles. They're good at what they do. And we had our work cut out for us. But we just couldn't get around, you know, that singles mentality for the match and try to get it over to a doubles game. So unfortunately, Alexis and Maya ended up losing that match, and that wrapped up our individuals at that point. So that was October 13th, and that wrapped up our season, actually.
Okay. Down in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, down in Sioux Falls. So we ended up coming back that night. If we would have, you know, we'd have to play from 16 down to 4 to play that next day, and
right.
We did not get there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Montevideo girls, they won the section, didn't they?
Yes, Monty won the section as a team, so they advanced. They played on Tuesday and Wednesday this past week. Unfortunately, Monty ended up dropping both of their matches. Yeah, so they lost in their first round, and then they lost in their first round of consolation as well. I mean, Monty was a good team this year. Just, you know, it was hard for them to close things out as a team. Right. You just see really good competition down there. Right. So,
how about individuals in the area? Anybody that comes to mind?
Or? No, so we had individuals from Morris and from YME. Okay. YME was a gal named Brandon Nelson, a ninth grader, or a 10th grader, excuse me, playing really well. I went down to watch a couple days ago the first round of individuals. Brianna ended up losing both of her first rounds. You know, played well, played hard, but again, you're just playing a different caliber of gals right. down there. And then Lydia Sweet from Morris, excuse me, also another 10th grader, made it to state as individual, and she ended up losing her first match, played hard against the number one singles player from St. James, lost 1-3. And the singles gal from St. James is a heck of a player. So credit to Lydia for playing hard and picking up some games there. And then our doubles teams, we had a doubles team from Benson. Unfortunately, they lost straight sets, both first and first. So first round they lost and then pushed them over to consolation.
Okay.
Ended up losing there as well. And then our Pipestone team lost the first round to a team that went ahead and actually is now playing semifinals, played semifinals on Friday, mm-hmm. but ended up in a second round match, feeling like they probably could have won it. I watched the match. They were 6-6. They lost the tiebreaker 7-6. And I think it just kind of crushed their spirits because they lost the next set 6-0. Just weren't playing the same way they did for that first set. So Pipestone also got bumped out of the tournament on the first day. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, so that's
should we talk about some of the girls and how their season went?
Yeah, if you don't mind, that'd be great, Paul.
We got plenty of time.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm always happy to talk tennis here.
You bet.
I just wanted to go through the gals that played our positions for us this year, if you don't mind. Alexis Olson was our one singles player. She posted a 5-17 record. Alexis did a great job. I mean, and I'm going to say the same for Maya Virgi. Maya had a second singles player 5-17 record. Both these gals worked really hard in the summer. They moved up from Alexis from four singles to one singles. That's a huge jump. Maya came over from two doubles over to two singles. Again, just a huge jump in the skill level of the opponents you're seeing. And they had a good attitude. They worked hard in the summer so that they were competitive in a lot of their matches, even if the matches didn't go their way. You know, I knew 100% of the time they had a good attitude. They're given 100% on the court, which is really about all you can ask of players. And they did not get a lot of times after two-thirds, halfway through the season, it's easy to start beating yourself up, feeling down, losing your motivation. And neither of these girls did that. They did a great job getting out on the court, bringing the fight every time they're out there playing and practicing hard, really giving their best. So I'm proud of them for doing that. They did a good job. Reese Kuzman was our third singles player. She posted a winning record at 13-10 for us this year. Reese, again, moving up from a doubles position last year over to singles. So kind of a new world, doubles and singles. Like I was mentioning, it's very different as far as the strategy, the shots you want to be making, the balls you need to be able to play. So Reese did a really nice job there. Reese is super athletic. She chases down everything out there. You know, shots don't always go her way, but I know she's probably going to get to every ball there. Greta Hacker played four singles for us. She was 11-12 for the season. She also, did a good job really stepping into it, played exhibition for us most of last year. Four singles can be just a slog. You play a lot of people who are, we kind of call them backboard players. They don't have weapons, but they're going to get the ball back and make you hit another ball again and again and again. And it's really easy to lose your patience, get frustrated. Greta did a good job kind of playing her game. And that's really what we're talking about in third and fourth singles. A lot of times you don't play to your opponent's level. You play your game. You play to your level, which is hard to do. In most sports, you're out there. You play down to a player if they're less than you, or you play up to them if they're better than you. But Greta did a nice job. Molly Halverson came out as a senior. God bless her. She played 7th and 8th grade, and then we lost her for a few years. But she did really well. She was a one doubles player for us. So she stepped in, did great, super athletic kid, picked up a lot of skills and strategy just in very quickly, and was able to move up to that one double spot in playoffs in the early season. And she partnered with Cameron Olson, who also was a low-level exhibition kind of doubles player for us. So Cameron stepped way up to one doubles playing that position. And they were both 11-2 on the season. They did really well. You know, again, probably they lost a three-setter in individuals. Wish we could have had another go at that. But, again, both of them, I think, good attitudes, good effort, nice talking. Unfortunately, we don't get Molly back again, right. But Cameron will be back next year. She's a 10th grader this year, so really excited to see what she does. Bree Borstad and Aiden Bond were our second doubles team for the season. They ended up with a 12-10 record. Again, Aiden, more of kind of an exhibition, maybe a couple third double matches last year, moved up to two doubles. That's not easy to do. She did a great job. Clearly, you could see her as she's learning and improving. This is her second year out only. You know, she's understanding where to put the ball. Sometimes execution isn't necessarily there on making that happen, but you can tell she's thinking, and she's a smart player. She knows where to go with that ball. Miss Borstad, poor Bree, battled injuries almost all season. Oh, wow. So this gal, between shoulders or knee or foot or something else, she toughed it out. She gutted it out. She did a great job with, again, a good attitude, and sucked it up and came down to play, you know, that team stuff with us the week before. So I really appreciate that. That's not easy to do, to play injured. But she's a junior coming back next year, hopefully as a senior. We're looking forward to having her. But again, both those gals, good attitudes, good effort. I mean, I really sound like a broken record here, but I'm really happy. I mean, the gals you get out for tennis, by and large, I don't know why, but they really seem to work hard, have a good attitude, you know, and want to excel. Right. They're very motivated folks. So I really appreciate that.
Good.
Yeah. Kenna McTighe, Riley Clark are my three doubles. 7-15 record. Riley, just her second year, moved up to varsity. Didn't even play really exhibition last year. Kenna was more of an exhibition three doubles player, but did really well. So again, you know, I'm looking forward to having those folks back next year. I just want to shout out to, like, we had Vanessa Piatter, Macy Moen, Micaiah Cobal, and Mari Falnas with for most of our varsity matches. They were our exhibition players. Okay. Again, good kids, and looking forward to having most of them back. Macy's graduating, so she'll be gone. Vanessa will be moving up to 11th, and then we've got Micaiah and Mari, our younger kids, and looking forward to having them around too.
How many seniors did you have that played their last tennis for Lacapral Valley Dawson Boyd?
Yeah, good question. Hey, we had five, actually.
Five?
So
okay.
Three that played varsity, really, and then we had Macy Moen, who was an exhibition player for us, and then Raya Borstad came out for her first year as a senior. So God bless her.
Yep.
Loved having her. Good worker, good attitude again. Unfortunately, did not make that varsity cut just based on abilities, but we'll be losing her as well next year.
And
so
the other seniors?
Yep, the other seniors, Molly Halverson, Alexis Olson, and Maya Virgi. So we'll be filling some tough spots next year. That's our 1-2 singles and one of our one doubles positions. So we got big shoes to fill again this year.
But you got a good group coming back, don't you?
We do. We had 32 kids out this past year. So
32.
Yeah, that was awesome. We've got, like I mentioned, a lot of these kids are coming back next year. We've got some really hard workers in JV and on that bubble kind of playing that exhibition varsity. So, yeah, really looking forward to seeing what happens next year. Hopefully we can build on what we had this year. As a team, we ended up with a 10-9 record overall. So very happy just to post a winning record after losing, you know, six senior kind of essential players last year,
right,
who'd been part of the program for years. So,
and for the first time, you got your own home court.
Oh my gosh, that was exactly right. That was amazing. We got to play at home for the first time in like 2.5 years.
Yeah, brand new court.
I know. So, thank you very much to the community, to the school for putting that, you know, getting that done and putting that out there.
Really nice facility.
It's
too
beautiful. Yeah, other teams really appreciate it too. It's the four on one side, the three on the other. It really makes following matches easier, mm-hmm, both for parents and coaches. So we really love it. And so that's been great.
Good. How about JV and stuff?
Yeah, so okay. JV, Austin Ireland, was the JV coach this year. He just brings a ton of energy. He's a great guy. I don't know what else. I mean, I love working with him. He's super easy. He's got great insights. When I'm missing something, he's picking up on it. So I love the fact that he's always thinking, and he seems like he's always a step ahead of me. I don't know how he does it, but he's got a lot of energy that he brings. So hopefully we can get him back next year.
How many matches do the JV, about the same as varsity?
No, so varsity usually gets about 18 or 20 okay. by the time the season's over. This year we're at 19. JV gets about 12, 13.
Okay.
So a lot of times JV schedule is kind of a we put it together as we go. Okay. So we really look to, hey, what do other schools have for players that season? Like we had 32. For instance, we know like Sauk only had 14 for their whole team, you know, 7th through 12th. So we didn't get a JV match there. So a lot of times like Austin and the athletic, Zach, our athletic director, will try to schedule that once we know, hey, our team's loaded with players. Are they on the short end this year? And throw it together. So it's, you know, we'll probably only have five matches on the schedule when the season starts, when practice, when we have our first practices, but that fills up fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other thing you like to mention?
Yeah, just I want to shout out to Maddie Matthews, who was awesome. She came out really probably for 5 or 6 weeks of the season, was out there for practices and home matches, helped us with varsity, helped us with JV. Really hoping we can keep her around. I got a lot of positive feedback from players, liking her help, liking her suggestions during matches, and she's just got a great attitude. So thanks, a big, big thanks to Maddie for helping us out, and hopefully we can keep this rolling.
As like a...
Yeah, like an assistant coach. Okay. Yeah, she was listed on our coaching website. Okay. She did all the, you know, the Minnesota State High School League has you do a bunch of credentialing, and you have to kind of cross the T's, dot the I's.
She played tennis for you not too long
ago. 2 years ago, Two years ago. So we are pumped that she's in the community and helping out. So,
nice.
I can't do this forever, so we're looking for fresh blood.
And parents, they help out quite a bit with concessions and stuff?
Oh, my gosh,
How does that work?
No, that's exactly right. Parents just make the program what it is, honestly. So, you know, shout out to Maya Virgie's mom brought food often. Alexis and Cameron Olson's mom brought snacks and food for the kids. So huge thanks to them. That's a lot of time and energy. We also had Vanessa Piotr, Val Halverson, and there's other moms. I know I'm going to miss people. Yeah. Reese Kuzman's mom also sold drinks during some of the home matches, okay. helped us make a few extra bucks there. So huge thank you. The parents just, I'm just really thankful for the parents that I've had all over the years. I mean, I lost some of those OG families last year when I graduated, like the Jans and the Oys, and they're not coming back.
Years of tennis.
Oh, my gosh. You're not. Decades. Exactly. But, you know, the families really and the parents really stepped up and were great. And I didn't really have to do a heck of a lot even. Val Halverson headed up some fundraising for two more tennis benches out there because we were short two on the new courts.
Okay.
We were able to get those and have them purchased by the end of season. So they'll be there next season.
Nice.
Yeah. But,
You always can have seating, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly.
Never going to have enough seating.
Right. So, and this is for the players on the courts during matches and changeovers even.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So instead of having to sit at their butts on the hot, you know, on the hot court surface, they can actually sit on something.
Okay.
And that's nice for me too. I'm getting old. My knees aren't anymore. So I can sit on something.
There you go.
But no, it was great. So I really appreciate all the effort, the community, the kids, the families put together. Loved having it. Our banquet's coming up in a couple weeks. So we'll be able to recognize some of the players for what they did.
All right. Like all conference and all academic.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff like
all
that?
Conference. Yeah. Academic, all state. We do some of our own team awards. We do a Walmart scavenger hunt every year, so we have winners from that we have to recognize. Try to have some fun.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. We covered everything, I think.
I think so. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, and thanks you for coming in every Saturday on the Coaches Show.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you guys.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Hacker. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you much.
It's Dr. Hacker, Coach Hacker from Lockbrawl Valley Dawson Boy Girls Tennis, wrapping up their season. We'll be back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
And that wraps up the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
QP Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
A busy The Agenda. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. President Trump on his way to Asia for the first time this term, a trip where he's expected to work on some investment issues, peace efforts, and have a face-to-face meeting with China's president.
This will be President Trump's longest foreign trip of his